My text today is 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Today is Father's Day, and as much as on Mother's Day we express our thanks to mothers, we today say thank you to the fathers. Good fathers are always appreciated, and we trust that you will have a nice day as you are honored by your family. So today I would like to speak to every father, but just not to fathers alone. For the text which is before us addresses a topic which is pertinent to every one of us, whether male or female, married or single. And what we find here is something which is not new to us. Paul is exhorting Timothy to be a good example. And I've told you these things over and over and over again. And simply, my friends, each one of us is an example. We are either a good example or we may be a bad example, but we are examples. So let this lesson drive home to your hearts today. Since you are an example in some fashion, I encourage you to be a good example. Since today is Father's Day, then I do primarily speak to fathers or would-be fathers, but at the same time, of course, the message well applies to everyone who is under the sound of my voice. So I speak to you, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, a message which I have entitled, "You Are an Example." That makes sense, doesn't it? You are an example. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we just honor you today. We trust that the songs that we've sung has been to your honor and glory. We pray that you would hear our prayers and Lord, meet our needs. And we've come to worship in spirit and in truth. And as we look into this portion of Scripture today that you've laid upon my heart to share, I ask that you would just prepare our hearts by your Spirit and go before us. And Lord, just take your word and just work it into every one of our hearts, that those of us who know you as Lord and Savior would be the kind of examples you'd have us to be. And Lord, we pray for those who are not saved, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that they would come to know you today. And so we commit this time to you today, and we honor you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, you are an example. First thing I would like to do is just define what the word example means. According to Webster, the word means someone or something that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated. So you have good examples and bad examples. But also under Webster's many definitions which could be given for this word is the idea that a sample or an example is a particular item, fact, or incident that, or even an aspect that is representative of a group or a type. Working in a machine shop, I've seen examples. We have to send customers a sample part, and that's supposed to be representative of the whole part. Now, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, you are to be an example. You need to be a pattern. And really, you want to be the kind of pattern that, well, when you talk about Christians, you say, well, that's what Christians ought to be like. And so you represent the whole category. But when we look at the word itself that's found within the text, the Greek word primarily means a thing which is shown. It is a specimen. And so in the New Testament, you'll find on a number of occasions the word ensample, at least if you have the King James Version, and that's just that word example. But the basic thought behind this word that's found here is to show. Paul writes and he says, be thou an example. Be seen. And of course, you want to be seen in the right manner. We know what an example is in the language, and we understand it within the text. Paul writes to Timothy. Let's think about the text for a few moments and then we'll spend the majority of our time in application of what we find here. Very simple passage, and we can discern what Paul is telling to Timothy. First of all, as we go through this passage, we'll find that Paul is instructing Timothy on being a good minister. And part of that instruction to Timothy is our text that we have before us. And so, Timothy, you be a good example. All ministers of the gospel should be good examples. All laborers for the Lord ought to be good examples. Timothy, you be a good example. Now, Paul decided to list a few things wherein he could be examples. And so, look into the passage once again and see at the latter part of the text some basic areas where Timothy might be a good example. Well, he says, be thou an example of the believers in word. In your speech, Timothy, and what you have to say, you be an example. And then it says in conversation, that word there is a lifestyle. Timothy, what you say, how you live, be an example for Jesus Christ. The third word is in charity. And so charity or in love, be an example. Some people are good examples in how to love and the love of Christ. Other people are not so much. Paul says, Timothy, you be a good example in charity. Then in spirit. And that's a matter regarding spiritual matters. Not only having the spirit, but how you respond to that spirit. And so you be an example in spiritual things. And then in faith. And so as you believe, as you respond in trust, you be an example in faith. Some have greater faith than others. Timothy, you be an example of strong faith. And then the last word, in purity. And the word there conveys the idea of holiness. It's a matter of sanctification. You be an example in purity. Now you look at this passage and Paul says, we an example, and here are some basic areas of which I give you this example. But who is he to be an example for? The object, very clearly stated within the passage, is the believers. Notice he says, but be thou an example of the believers. And so not only be an example as a believer, but be an example to the believers. As a minister of the gospel, I should be an example of what a Christian is like, but I need to be an example to other believers too. So you can look and say, boy, you know, if that's a Christian, that's the kind of guy I want to be. That's how I want to live. That's how I want to serve. That's the kind of faith I want to have. And so, Timothy, you be an example of the believers, he says. And one other thing I want to mention about this text is the beginning of the verse is that this text tells us that age is not a criteria. He says, let no man despise thy youth. So it doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old or anywhere in between. You know what? You're going to be an example. And so, Timothy, just because you're young, don't let anybody despise your youth. You be an example. You be an example. Sometimes young people get the idea, well, I'll wait till I'm older before I'll be what I ought to be. I'll wait until I have some more years before I live for Jesus the way God would have me to live. Well, my friend, don't let anybody despise your youth. Serve them while you're young. Boy, that's the best time. Begin while you're young and keep on serving the Lord. I was thinking back. You know, the Lord saved me when I was 15 years of age. And what an opportunity. I've been able to serve Him, follow after Him for 41 years. Wow, what an opportunity. Serve the Lord. Let us be an example. And so Paul writes to Timothy about this very thing. Very simple, very telling within the passage, but I believe this application can be made toward you and toward me today. So be an example. Why? Because you are an example, so you want to be a good example. And so let's think about this application. Number one, as I've already stated, we are examples. Whether you like it or not, you are an example. People look at you, people see you, people watch how you respond, how you react, and the things that you do, the people you hang with. I mean, you are an example to those who are around you. Do you know why? That word means to show. You're on display. People are watching you. People are watching me. It doesn't matter whether it's in the home or in the community or in the workplace or in the school system or in church. You know what? People are watching. And sometimes we'll kid, we'll be driving down the road, you know, if we do something really bad on our driving or something like that. Well, that wasn't a very good example. Or, you know, you pull up beside somebody and they're driving bad, and you might lash out at them. I know you never do that. You never get angry with people like that. But we'll kid and we'll say, well, now give them a track. Well, you can't yell at them in one hand and give them a track in another. You know, it's kind of difficult to do. And so you want to be an example, don't you? You want to be a testimony. We are examples, whether we're good, whether we're bad, we are an example. And as I've just suggested unto you, being an example is not confined to ministerial duties. Don't look at the text and say, well, Paul's writing to Timothy, and Timothy was a preacher boy, and so that doesn't apply to me. That has no impact upon me. This is Father's Day. You're talking to fathers, so the ladies are checking out saying, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Not so. Every one of us, we need to understand we are examples, and whether it's in ministry or not in ministry, where you work, you're an example. And how you treat your family is an example. And so if in our neighborhood, if I'd go outside and me and Laura would have an argument and be yelling at each other, we'd be an example to our neighborhood, wouldn't we? Well, look at those people. Look at how they conduct their business. Well, we are examples, and it's just not in the ministry. So let all these things apply to you. And of course, if we're talking about being an example, the emphasis is you want to be a positive example. I've had people tell me, they'd look at and point at somebody and say, if that's a Christian, I do not want to be one. That is a bad example, you see. I don't want to be that kind of example. I want to be a good example, don't you? If you want to be an example in ministry, don't you want to be a good example? You want to be an example of a husband and a father, or a mother and a wife? You want to be an example of a worker? Be a good example, a positive example. And so the emphasis is on being positive. O.K. Collins wrote this poem, I Wonder Why. My daddy thinks it's nice for me to go to Sunday school, to hear the helpful lessons, and to learn the golden rule. And if some Sunday morning something else I'd like to do, my dad looks very stern and says, I'm surprised at you. So I dress up very neatly, and I travel off alone, while daddy hunts up his paper and decides he'll stay at home. Now I've wondered and wondered, yes, time and time again, why Sunday school's so good for boys and not for grown-up men. Ah, his dad was not a very good example. Let us be positive example. Now the text gives for us some directions of which we will mention a few things now, and then we'll elaborate on a few others in a moment. But that listing there at the latter part of the text, you can glance back down at your Bibles once again. Well, we ought to be examples. In what area? Well, the other areas that I mentioned, but what about our speech? We'll talk more about that. What about our lifestyle? It says in conversation, every aspect of our life, we need to be a positive example, good examples. And I understand it's by God's grace we can do so. We need God's grace to live for Him and to serve Him. And we can do nothing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we live, we ought to understand that Christianity is more than just coming to church on Sunday. Christianity is every day of the week. It's 24/7 all the time. And so we want to have a lifestyle that matches our profession. We want to be a good example in our conversation. And then the word love, of course, and charity. We want to demonstrate God's love. Let us be a loving people, a kind people, and demonstrate the love of God as we go through our lives. And then the word spirit was used in the text. And we'll talk more about that and elaborate a little further in just a few moments on that one. And then the word faith was found in the passage. We ought to be examples in faith. And of course, that's a response in trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do we believe? Do we trust? I need to be a good example in faith. And so if we should have a issue that should arise within the church, and maybe a very terrible event should come upon us like has come upon the church in Charleston, how would we react? Will we react in faith? How will the preacher respond? Will he respond in faith? Strong faith. Be an example. Be an example in faith. And then in the word holiness, and I mentioned to you that word is connected to the word purity there. Impurity regards holiness, a matter of sanctification. Am I an example on how to live? Or do I teach people that, well, you know what, you can make a profession of faith and live however you want and live ungodly and be corrupt and everything is just okay? I don't know how many people have told me that they've known Christians that live ungodly all week and then go to church on Sunday and act very pious and holy. Your coworkers know you. You're not going to trick them. They know how, they know you go to church and they know that you're faithful, but they know you at work too. And so you want to have some holiness about you. You want to be sanctified and let them know that this is true. And so we want to think about this application of being examples. Now I offer to you a few illustrations. Why should we be an example? Because people are looking at us. The word means to show, right? Years and years ago, now they would not remember, but both Ryan and Chad on occasion as they were growing up, as they were very little, I recall that they would put on my glasses and they go, "I'm Daddy. I'm Daddy." And they might deny that now, but they both did that. "I'm Daddy." I'm an example to them and have been an example to them. I want to be a good example, not a bad example. Both of my boys, you know, to some measure, I'm a kidder. I'll goof around and I'll joke around, and I think I have a decent sense of humor, probably a little too far sometimes, but and I'm not talking about nastiness, just sometimes too far in joking around. But you know, I've seen in both of my boys, they have a tendency to goof around in some degree like I do and to do jokes. I do my father. You could ask my wife about my dad. Me and him, we're a mirror images in our humor and in our conduct like that. Well, like my dad used to say, a nut doesn't fall far from the tree. And the truth of the matter is, our kids generally turn out like we are. And so you want to be the kind of example you need to be. You ever heard that saying, he's a chip off the old block? Well, he's follow your example. And so my boys, to some degree, have followed my example, whether they like it or not. And it's just that, well, I've taught them some things. And the bad thing is some of those things have been bad. Some of those things have not been the way they ought to be. And so as I look at my boys, I've grown up now, and you know what? They have characteristics like me. Some things are good, and hopefully they've gotten more good than they have bad. But I'm not a perfect person, and so every now and then I'll see something in them, and I think, yeah, that's my fault. I've been a bad example to those boys. And so we need to keep in mind we're always an example for those who are around us. With this all in mind, let's have some considerations. If you're following the outline in the bulletin, these considerations are the vast majority of the message, and we'll be finished in just a few minutes. But again, keep in mind we're examples, good or bad. So let me offer you, I have 10 things, 10 areas. Paul mentioned some of those things that we've listed, and I said we'd speak again in a moment. He listed 6 things. I'm offering you 10 things that we need to be an example in, and then we'll be through. First of all, let us be an example in salvation. That is, in being saved, in who we are, what Christ has done in our hearts. If you make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, then live for Jesus Christ. Live a life that's consistent with your profession. But of course, as a Christian, and you will desire, because the Holy Spirit does live in your heart, you will be an example to other people of what Christians are like. So we want to be an example to lost people that you need the Savior, that you need to repent, you need to be saved, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us be examples in salvation. I copied this poem and listen. It's entitled Dad's Greatest Job. And for you ladies, you say, well, I was a daughter, and this talks about men and boys. Well, it's Father's Day. Grant us a little leeway here. Get the lesson from the poem. I may never be as clever as my neighbors down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had. But I've got to be successful as this little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish ere my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad. For I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. And how true that is. Every dad ought to desire that their children follow and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every mother desires that their children would be saved and all that we would be successful by God's grace in this area of being an example to those who come after us. So let us be an example, number one, in salvation. Number two, in submission. I'm talking about yielding to God. I've encountered people along my ministry who say, I don't care what God says. I don't care what the Bible has to say. I will do it my way. Well, what you're telling those around you and what you're telling your children is, I'll do things my way and God doesn't matter. That's a huge mistake, my friend. We want to be an example in submission. We want to let others know that God is our God and He's the sovereign God of the universe, and we bowed our knee to Him and we will follow after Him and we will yield our hearts and souls to Him. Let us be in submission to God. Let those who see us see that we're yielded to the Lord and willing to do what God would have us to do. Number three, service. Let us be an example in service. And of course, that involves our labor for God. Now, not everybody's called to the ministry. Not everybody does it on a full-time basis. But I tell you, my friend, no matter what you're doing in this life, you have an opportunity to serve God through that vocation. And you say, well, I'm retired now. Okay, then serve God through your retirement. But all of us have an opportunity to serve Him, to labor for Him. And I would encourage you to be a good example in serving the Lord. Woe be it that my children ever look at me and say, well, you know what? He says he's a Christian. He went to church. He preached. But you know what? He really didn't really do anything for God. That'd be a terrible example, wouldn't it? I want them to see that it's right to serve God and to labor for Him. And so let us be an example in salvation and submission and service. But then number four, in the area of study. I'm talking about the Word of God. Do you ever pick up the book, my friend? Do you ever read the Word of God? Are you familiar with the things of God? I would encourage you to study. You want to let them know. You would let your children know the Bible is important. The Bible's worth our time and it's worth our study. And we need you we want you to read it as much as we read it. And we want you to study as much as we study. We want you to know the Word of God. I've encouraged both our boys to get a Bible, read the Bible, stay in the book. The Bible will revolutionize your life, my friend. If you'll just read it and study it, it'll make a difference for you. And oh, what an example it is if we read it ourselves. I remember many years ago, I went to Florida. I was working in a church there during the summer break at college was out. And I met an old fellow there. And he told me in conversation that he read the Bible four times a year. That's a lot of reading. Take my word for it. That is a lot of reading. You have to stay with that. He read it four times a year. That's great, isn't it? How many times have you read the Bible through? Not talking about in a year, just how many times have you ever read it through? I would encourage you to read the Word of God, to love the Word of God. Be an example. You say, well, the Bible says to do your devotions in secret and don't let them know. I understand, but can they recognize that you read? I get up early in the morning and I'll read my Bible. And every now and then, depends when they get up and when they're going out and all this kind of thing. Sometimes, you know what, I get caught reading my Bible. Is that okay? Absolutely. I want them to know the Bible is important to me. I would encourage you to study the Word of God. Be an example in the Bible. Number five, the Spirit. Be an example in the Spirit. Now that's being filled with the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit, having a spiritual walk, dealing with spiritual things. Be an example. The Bible talks about and teaches us that we want to be filled with the Spirit. Well, do you have that example? Do you show your family what it's like to be filled with the Spirit? Oh, I pray that you do. You deal with spiritual matters. Will you be an example in that? Do you recognize that the things of God are very important? I don't know how many times I've told people down through the years how important it is for them to be faithful to the house of God, to teach their children that it's important to you. That poem I read about that guy sending off his son to Sunday school and he stayed at home, that doesn't teach that child anything, but hey, I'll just stay at home. My dear friend, if you're a Christian, you want to emphasize to your children how important it is to be in the house of God and to fellowship with God's people and to hear God's word preached, and oh, it's just part of who we ought to be. Is it important to you? Is it important? Be an example in spiritual things. And so be filled with, be led by, and have a spiritual walk. Also then, number six, be an example in speaking. In godly speech. You know, when you hang around with individuals who talk poorly, you end up talking like them. Did you ever notice that? I worked for years in a machine shop, and those people, they can have some of the filthiest language there is. And working with those old rotten machinists, you know. But despite your best efforts, you know what? Those words will come floating through your brain. You know why? Because that's what you hear all the time. And my, what a shame that is. Well, don't you be partaking of that. Don't you be leading off. Other people are astray by the way that you speak. I saw just this last week that concerning Father's Day, somebody asked this kid, says, "What's your dad's favorite word?" And the kid says, "Am I allowed to swear on TV?" Well, that just says what kind of language the guy uses all the time. And I've been around people that cursing was just a continual thing, and I don't think they even realized they did it because they've done it so much. You know what they're teaching everybody around them? Do you know what they're teaching their children? They teach them to talk just like they talk. Let us be godly in our speech. And so, hey, watch those jokes. Be careful. Don't cross the line. Be godly in your speech, but also be an example in your witnessing. Let us be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us tell others about Him. Let us be examples. And then let us be an example in number seven, spending. Spending in the way that we use our money. You say, there you go again, talking about tithing and giving offerings to the Lord. Oh, it's much more beyond that. You might tithe and you might give offerings to the Lord, and that's a grand thing, and you're an example in that. But you know what? If you take the rest of your money that you have at home and you squander it, and you're running down to Tunica and throwing it in the slot machines or whatever, you know what you're teaching your kids? You know what you're teaching your family and your coworkers? Well, you just squander your money, throw it away. I've told you over and over again, if you want to gamble, give it to me. I can use it better than they can. You might not get a much return on it in that regard, but you're not getting any return down at Tunica. It's all geared to lose anyway. So I've known people won. I've known people that's won millions and it's ruined their lives. Do what you want, but I'll tell you, you need to be an example in spending. In spending. And of course, that does involve giving to the Lord. You want to be an example in that. And so that your family, your children would know that it's right. I believe in God and I believe in His Word and I believe in the church and I'm going to help support the church. Be an example in spending. Number eight, be an example in sickness. In sickness. That, and by that I mean, how do you respond when sickness comes? How do you respond when afflictions come? Do you just lose it and go crazy? I've seen so many people down through the years have tremendous responses to their afflictions. And my, what a testimony that is. What an encouragement of how they've reacted in troublesome times. But every now and then you'll find somebody that hits a bump in the road and they lose it. And they get angry at God and they stomp off and you never see them again. You know, I don't want to be like that. I want to be an example. If troubles and trials and sickness comes. And I've prayed that way. God, if you ever allow these things to come upon me, let me respond well. The last thing I'd want to do is for something to come, some tragedy to come upon me, and then you guys look at me and say, yeah, that's the preacher. He's told us for years to do this and this and this, and then when it happened to him, he didn't do it. Job was fearful of that. And he says, that has come upon me. Well, I'll tell you, my friend, let us be faithful. Let us be true. Let us be an example, even when things are not going so great. That's part of faith, too, isn't it? Trusting God, believing on Him. Number nine, let us be an example in standing. And by that, I mean standing for the truth. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe that which is true? Are you willing to take a stand for that? We need to be examples. You know, when sometimes you'll see a spouse die and the other spouse says, well, I've just got to be tough to be, I have to be strong for my children. And so they really don't show a lot of emotion. They try to hold it together. They don't want to go to pieces because they want to do it for their children. They're just standing so that they can be strong. And you know, when you apply that to the truth, we need to stand for the truth. We'll be strong. But of course, we also have to take a stand against sin and against wrong. And that involves that area of sanctification. And so, you know what? As a parent, it's all right to tell your kids no. It's all right to say, this is wrong. And you ought not dress like that. And you ought not talk like that. And you ought not be hanging around friends like that. It's a parental responsibility to guide and to teach and to train their children. We need to be examples in that area. And so let us be an example. I've told you guys over and over about dress and the biblical definition of nakedness. It's on record. You can get it off the website. Key it in and you'll find the message on nakedness. I've told you it's nakedness from neck to knee. I didn't come up with that summarization. Somebody else did. But it's very true. And I think it's naked not to have that covered. And so the other day, I've got some poison ivy and the shirt just really irritates it. So I'm not giving it to anybody, so just, you don't have to be afraid. But the last week, I've been kind of sitting around without a shirt in the house because that shirt just irritates the poison ivy. And so I'd be shirtless. And by the way, it's okay for me to be naked in my own house, right? So I can be shirtless in my own house. There's nothing wrong with that. But then my son, he leaves and he's going to bring his girlfriend. I said, is she coming in? No, she's not coming in. She's leaving. And so he left with her. So I'm sitting watching TV without a shirt, and here he comes in the door with her. And so I popped on, I had a wife beater, you know, so I put a wife beater on real fast and just covered up. And he said, the other day, he said, what's the big deal? You had an old wife beater, that doesn't cover anything. But it did cover something. You know what it did? It covered my nakedness from my neck to my waist. Why did I put on the wife beater? Did it really conceal anything? No, but it covered my skin. And to uncover it would have been nakedness in her eyes, in her sight. And I want to be consistent. Take a stand. Take a stand against sin and wrong. Last thing is this. Number 10, let's be an example in society. We used that word conversation earlier. It's a matter of lifestyle, our daily living. Just be an example. I'm somewhat of an impatient individual, but I will curb my impatience many times simply because I want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And I might be very irritated on the inside, but I try not to show it on the outside because I want to be an example. An example. I'd rather not get irritated, but that's just my disposition. And I still deal with that by God's grace. We'll get better and better. But we want to be an example. Be an example when you drive. Be an example in the grocery store. My sister, years and years ago, she was a member of my church up in Ohio. And we were having Bible school. And she went to the store. And something happened in the line. And she just got irate and just really let that worker have it. And just run her up one side, down the other, and just really blasted this girl. We were at the end of Bible school, and they were supposed to bring their families and all that. You know who showed up that night at our church at Bible school? That was that girl's mother. And so one of the girls had been coming to Bible school, brought her mother, and that was the one who my sister lambasted that day in the store. And she says, oh, no, that's that woman. Well, you can't take that back. It's too late, isn't it? It's too late. Let us be an example in our society. By God's grace, we will live for Him. Let me remind you of these things. Let us be an example in salvation, submission, service, study, spirit, speaking, spending, sickness, standing, and in society. So in conclusion, in closing, you are an example. May those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ set the example as a Christian. Let Him see what it's like to be saved. Let's live for Jesus. I also want to submit unto you, you that are lost, you realize you're an example? You may not think about it, but you're unsaved. And as an unsaved person, you're teaching other people that God doesn't mean anything. You're teaching other people that you hate God. You're teaching other people that you hate righteousness and you hate spiritual things and you hate and despise the truth, that you love sin and rebellion. That's what you teach others. That's what you're chaining your children to do, to despise God. So, dear sinner, you need to recognize that you're an example too, but you're just an example of the wrong things. So as much as a Christian ought to be an example of Christian things, dear sinner, recognize you're an example of sinful things, and the need for you is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Oh, that we might all be good examples. I close with one other poem. It's copied. I do not know who wrote this, but the poem is entitled, "I Want to Be Just Like You," and I'll be finished after I read you this poem. He climbs in my lap for a goodnight hug. He calls me Dad and I call him Bub. With his faded old pillow and a bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and says, "I want to be like you." I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turn out the light. And I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see he's got a father in God, 'cause he's seen Jesus in me. I've got to admit, I've got so far to go. Many make so many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems no matter how hard I try, with all the pressures in life, I just can't get it right. But I'm trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, filled with your tenderness. 'Cause I know that he'll learn from the things that he sees, and the Jesus he finds will be the Jesus in me. Right now, from where he stands, I may seem mighty tall, but it's only 'cause I'm learning from the best father of them all. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me to be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me." You are an example. Be a good example. Let's stand. I ask you to reflect upon these things as we sing this song in closing. And may God speak to your heart, Christian, that you would be the kind of example God would have you to be in all aspects of life. And dear lost person, that you'd see your need of Jesus, that you might be saved. Father, we commit this time to you today. We thank you, and I pray that you'd overcome any frailty of my speech and take your word by your Spirit and apply it to our hearts, that we who name your name, that we who are saved might live for you, that we'd be the kind of examples we ought to be, and forgive us where we fall short. Pray for the lost that they might be saved. And Lord, we turn this over to you and we honor you with it. We love you. We praise you. And we pray that your perfect will be accomplished. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. If you